Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our monthly EMC Squared Founders Call. This is Judy Greeno. I'll be your host this evening as we spend an insightful hour with the co-author of the book, cleverly disguised as a novel, Sanctuary, the Path to Consciousness, and EMC Squared's co-founder, Evan Slauson. Tonight, we'll be talking about the art and importance of meditation as a part of our self-care practice. We'll cover some simple techniques that anyone can easily use, whether you're on AIM or not yet on AIM. And Evan prepared a special resource for us that he'll tell us about at the end of the call. If time allows, and we'll do our best to make sure it does, we'll also open the lines at the end to take a few questions. So we ask that you go ahead and press star 6 on your phone, so it'll be nice and quiet when we open the lines later. Then if you have a question, you can just enter star 6 again and unmute your line. The AIM program of energetic balancing is a spiritual technology available to anyone, regardless of location, and it exists to help us heal ourselves 24/7. If you're joining us for the first time, we encourage you to learn more by contacting the facilitator who may have invited you to this call, or by visiting our website at aimprogram.com. Before we begin, I'm asked to remind our listeners that energetic balancing is not healthcare or medicine, and it does not diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. EMC Squared's spiritual technology assists you in healing yourself. When discussing energetic imbalances that have names that are the same as or similar to the names of diseases, we're talking about energetic imbalances in consciousness only, not about actual diseases. Energetic imbalances are vibrations in consciousness on the spiritual plane. Our special guest tonight is very well known as the narrator of Sanctuary, and in his role as co-author, he wrote quite a bit about his own experiences along his path to finding sanctuary and continuing his healing. Evan likes to say he began his exploration of consciousness at birth, but he knows that it began, as for all of us, long before then, and that every moment can be a meditative experience. Evan began working with subtle energy and quantum consciousness when introduced to Stephen Lewis in the early 1990s. Since then, he's been instrumental in the evolution of EMC Squared's spiritual technology. And Evan has inspired ideas and contributions that make it possible to offer the AIM program tools to thousands of individuals globally. He's committed to empowering people to reach higher levels of consciousness in order to heal body, mind, and soul. Evan, thank you so much for being with us tonight to talk about a topic that I know has been a big part of your life for decades.
Absolutely. Now, as I recall, though, you were going to you had some sanctuary quote you wanted to start off with.
Well, you know me. I'm kind of known for having at least one sanctuary quote. Actually, yeah, I was going to say before we delve into our topic tonight.
Now, the thing I think everybody out there should know is that essentially you are the consummate sanctuary scholar, and Judy actually knows the book probably better than Steve or I do. At this point, at one point, I don't think that was true, but today I'm pretty sure it is true. And if Judy's your facilitator and you have questions, certainly call her up and ask her. She'll point you to the exact right readings. And if she's not your facilitator, ask your facilitator to get the info from her.
Oh, bless your heart. Well, I thank you both for having this to allow me to attempt to become a scholar, but I really appreciate it that now at least my participants know that I don't just bug them to pick the book back up again. I also bug Evan, so he's going to read it again, too.
Right. I told her the other day I was going to read it again soon.
Oh, that was perfect, Evan. Thank you. But actually, yes, I was going to say before we delve into the topic, for the benefit of those who may not be familiar with AIM, I just wanted to read a paragraph from one of the chapters in Sanctuary. It's called My Turn, which obviously was Evan's turn when he was writing the book, and then ask you to add any comments you'd like to maybe explain AIM just a little bit, because we don't want to spend a lot of time on that, but to maybe encourage people to read your book either for the first time or again. So this is just the beginning paragraph in that chapter called My Turn. Everything I had done in pursuit of energetic perfection came about because I was not satisfied with my physical, mental, or emotional state. In short, I didn't feel good, and deep inside, I knew that something better was possible. Fortunately, the path I chose, the path I stumbled into, proved that my perceptions were correct. In time, I found that my mind, my body, and my spirit were one and the same, and they flourished together as my energetic balance improved. I just think that's a great short paragraph to give anybody the opportunity to say, that sort of sounds like me.
Yeah, you know, it reminds me, when you were reading it, I was thinking about one day I walked into the living room when my girlfriend Yolandi was watching Oprah, and there was Oprah and some other woman comforting a third woman who was crying and who said, I just don't know what the future will bring. And, you know, of course, the rest of us all know what the future will bring, so I can understand her distress. But, yeah, it's sort of the same thing. It's a universal moment here. I'm pretty sure that most people are looking for something that makes them feel better, helps them figure out where they're going, how to manifest what it is they chose this lifetime for, whatever you want to say about it. And, the fact that you chose that quote, I think it's, pretty apropos.
Well, you know, and this book was the first major part of the book, I believe you wrote back in 1998 with Stephen, and then the epilogue chapters in 99. And we were talking about the importance, the urgency, if you will, back then of taking on the self-responsibility aspect of doing our own healing. And now here we are, 11, 12 years later, and that need seems to, have increased just a little bit, wouldn't you say, Evan?
Well, we could say that it's increased, but on some level, really, hasn't it always been the same thing? That we always have to take responsibility for ourselves on every level. And when you say take responsibility for our healing, that gives me my opening for my classic definition of healing, which is basically when you look at, first of all, I believe that the root sounds of words, as you go back etymologically and you study the history of the word, I believe that those vibrations are carrying the true meaning of the word on some level, and that the word's meaning never really changes. One of my favorites is the word nice, which if you look at it etymologically, it actually, the word means stupid, and somehow it's evolved into a popular usage that people don't often think of it as meaning stupid, but really once you tell them this and they think about it, everybody goes, yeah, it does kind of mean stupid, doesn't it? And with the word healing, we have a similar thing, though not so potentially derogatory. The word healing comes from a number of root forms that mean whole, as in whole, one thing. And so to heal means to become whole. And the interesting thing was that, of course, made me look up the meaning of the word whole. And the word whole, as it turns out, one of the definitions, and the one that I will certainly single out because it's my favorite, means to be able to include everyone and everything without exception. So that was Webster that came up with that. So considering that, that's the kind of thing you'd expect out of some New Age guru's mouth, and instead
exactly.
Came out of the pages of a dictionary, it's somewhat amazing to me.
Well, and you actually explained the root of the word heal in sanctuary as well. So once again, you didn't leave much out of that book.
You and I have talked about this. You know, that book went through a lot of drafts, looking to layer as much depth and meaning into it as we could possibly have happen. And I really believe that sanctuary is somewhat of a transcendent work that is more than the sum of its parts, and more than the sum of Steve and I putting it together.
Well, and when I recommend the book to people, Evan, I pretty much say, look, if you don't like the book, let me know. I'll buy it back from you. But I haven't doled out any money over the years, but that even if it doesn't resonate, you know, the part about the AIM program itself, the evolution of it, if that doesn't resonate with you right now at this point in time, you'll benefit from reading it. And it's just, you know, I think it's on that basis that some, you know.
Plus the paper will make good kindling.
Well, no, possibly, but that's another thing. People want it available on Kindle these days, but it's so true. And time again, people will.
It is available on Kindle.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
Perfect. How do you like that when your wish has been granted before you even ask it?
There you go. Well, that's good to know. We'll have to promote that. And I don't even have a Kindle. You know, I'm not. I'm still a little bit behind the times in those terms. But many people will comment that they've loaned their book out, which, of course, we love to hear, but then they never get it back, which, you know, is also not a bad thing to hear. But we want them to replace it if they can, or now they can get it on Kindle, because it is there's very, very little that someone – very few questions or things that come up that aren't really addressed in the book. So it's a wonderful resource, and it's probably because of my being a facilitator. I'm sure that's why the book is now about – twice as big as it was when I got it, but to just get so we can jump into this topic because I know
you know
got
Judy,
a lot
you
to...
should actually put a picture of your copy of Sanctuary on your facilitator website.
I'm going to do that. I would love to do that. You know, I've got one Power versus Force runs a close second, but it's not nearly as and it's not falling apart. It was well put together, so it's not falling apart. But
it's
we'll
a miracle.
But we wanted to encourage people to really get the book. It's the best way to, because I think the history of, you know, Stephen's private practice and how you guys met and your experiences, I think that whole background is really important for people to really appreciate what the three of you and Stephen and Roberta, have done over the years to commit to helping people heal and to make this program so incredibly comprehensive. And while we're going to talk about meditation tonight and tips, techniques, suggestions, and so on, whether people are on the AIM program or not, we're going to talk about some specifics for people utilizing the AIM program too. So we just want to encourage people to do some research and see if this resonates with them. So, Evan, speaking of Webster, I picked that up this morning and was looking at, okay, how do they define the word meditate and meditation? And it's just like anything else. It's so a matter of perspective. What is meditation when to you and the way you think the average person perceives it? What are we really talking about here?
Well, the way that, if you're going to ask me what the average person perceives it as, I guess we have to figure out what the average person is or who the average person is. But like we can assemble our prejudices and make one up, I guess. And perhaps the average person thinks that I don't know, that meditation is something one joins the TM Foundation or whatever their organization's called, and it's something one does under specific guidance or auspices of a guru or something. I don't know really. I think people often think of prayer and meditation as the same thing, and to a great extent that I think that is really true, even though a lot of people differentiate between prayer and meditation. The idea of prayer being asking God for something perhaps, and meditation being listening to God for something, but I think that really limits both the concept of prayer and the concept of meditation, because I think both of them really kind of merge into a connection with the universe. So like, let's say that in a sense is a goal of meditation, but meditation to me is a very broad collection of techniques that cross through many different traditions and religious beliefs, and sometimes have different purposes, but really all of them have something to do with enlightenment, salvation, all of the words that you could put together for the if we're trying to be goal oriented about our spiritual pursuits.
Okay. And I don't know, usually I don't, in many ways I think I'm average, and then I'm like, I don't know, I hope that there's not a lot of people out there like me, but I would say at least prior to my reading Sanctuary and including the AIM program as part of my own chosen path, I would, when I heard the term meditation, and okay, even after I was on AIM, it was like, to me, I had this vision of like being the doer all my life. It was like, okay, and I, you know, tried it a couple times in groups, and like it felt like I was supposed to just kind of totally silence the mind and feel this emptiness. But that's, to me now, that's not what it's all about. It's instead of looking at it as me trying to silence my mind, it's more about what you talked about, the connection. It goes beyond the quieting of the mind, and it's more of a focus.
Right. Well, you mentioned what you're supposed to do, and
yeah,
that reminds me of the phrase, here I go shooting all over myself.
Yes.
Again.
Yes.
You know,
exactly.
And there's, I think bringing a sense of outside authority to meditation can be valuable for some people at certain times in their lives. I don't think it's intrinsically necessary. Certainly the concept of emptying the mind is one of the paths that you can take in meditation, though I think it's a fairly it's one that's commonly perceived, I would guess, that, you know, again, applying my prejudices, never having actually surveyed anybody about this, but I think that the idea of emptying the mind through mantra or gazing or other techniques where you're achieving some level of stillness, that's probably a pretty common perception about meditation, but it's by no means the only kind of meditation that there is.
Well, and because I've had the advantage of listening to the special treat that you did that we'll talk about later, it just made a world of difference to say, okay, it's not like I'm supposed to, I got to sit still for a half an hour and empty my mind. It was totally about realizing the beauty and just shifting the focus.
Well, I guess we might as well not tease too much. We'll announce sometime towards the end of this call a special URL where I put together a guided meditation that's 14 minutes long that ultimately is about focusing the AIM tray energies on oneself. But most of it actually would be perfectly useful for someone who isn't even on AIM, because it's about using the breath to identify and remove various levels of blockage in yourself. And in, you know, in that particular meditation, I actually I used three different techniques that I'm aware of from other sources, and I credit them in the in that material, so people can go to that stuff, and if they want to look further at those kind of sources. But these meditations are visualization meditations, and those are thousands of years old. The techniques are, and you know, some of them are reputed to have been taught by Buddha, and you know, there's a long history there of what that is, and it's not just about emptying the mind, though. Let's say emptying the mind is a good start, because emptiness opens the space for possibility. And when one is doing visualization work, usually there is something of a goal that you're trying to achieve in it. And of course, even if you're not visualizing, you're still trying to achieve a goal. If the goal is emptying the mind, for instance, or perhaps it's the goal is abstractly emptying the mind, but the goal is simply to observe as the mind empties itself, regardless of whether the inner dialogue continues, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, all of these things tend to lead people into a judgmental moment about meditation. You know, some people are very skilled at it and have had a lot of practice and do it and find a lot of value in regular meditation. And other people approach it and have expectations that the experience may not be quite fulfilling for them, so they don't stick with it, even though it may be incredibly valuable for them to do so.
Okay. Well, and you mentioned this, the meditation that you did is 14 minutes, which I think is it's a great length. It's a wonderful meditation. But one of the questions I had is that, and maybe I'm not wording it right, but is it more important? Is it the time you spend doing it as important as, say, the consistency of developing the practice of doing it? I mean, rather a little bit daily versus, you know, making an hour a week. Any input on that?
Yeah, I think that generally, the idea of doing it every day is much more powerful, and I think I addressed that in the PDF file. That's the introduction to the sound file. That it's better to it's better to practice daily. I mentioned that you can set the intention to get the result with only one pass through it, and you know, do it. I mean, why not? Why not set that intention and then fulfill that intention? It's like the person who does affirmations and then realizes that the ultimate affirmation is that all my affirmations work whether I say them or not.
Right.
And you know, if you can pull that off, you know, because it's one thing to be tongue-in-cheek about it and pat oneself on the back for being clever, but the real question is, are you getting the results? And, you know, that's for each person to decide. I don't have a judgment on how people approach it.
Okay. So, then for, I guess, more for the benefit for people that are on the AIM program, I mean, one of the questions we've heard in the past is, well, do I need to meditate to get the benefits of that the AIM program offers?
Well, you know, I think that comes back to the shooting all over oneself thing. And a lot of people have, I mean, not a lot of people, I would say I should just limit it to everybody. Everybody has preconceived notions about the way things ought to be and the conditions that they have to set up for themselves. And I mean, I'm including me in it and you and everybody, right? That we all have some level of vision that tells us that in order to get this thing, I have to do that thing. And it's very hard to accept the miraculous nature of the universe unfolding where cause and effect are just an illusion. And instead, we tend to strongly believe in cause and effect and live in a society that bases itself around several philosophies that are deeply embedded in cause and effect. But most of the spiritual teachings teach us that it isn't so. And of course, even Einstein said a lot along those lines. Like one quote that comes to mind was, reality is an illusion, albeit a very persistent one.
Right.
And I'll, for those who don't know, Einstein's birthday was last Sunday, and EMC Squared celebrates Einstein's birthday because we basically believe that Einstein expressed a spiritual revelation in the language of mathematics. And, of course, there's the little matter of EMC squared, or you know, E equals MC squared, et cetera. So we sort of think there's some kind of connection between what's out there as spiritual laws and what it was that Einstein had to say that some people think of as merely science.
Well, you know, Evan, you actually in Sanctuary. Here we go again. But you mentioned in Sanctuary that you said after telling Max, which of course was Stephen, that I had never been able to meditate. So prior to meeting Stephen, you said you were never able to meditate. Sounds like it was something you wanted to do. Why did you want to do it, and why were you not able to do it in the past?
Well, that's a good question. The why, I like especially the why did I want to do it. I guess that was a shoulding all over myself thing once again. I mean, it seemed like I should meditate for whatever reason, and I had practiced yoga very extensively. I mean, you know, a couple of decades of it, and to do yoga and not really be able to do the kinds of meditation that are often taught with it. I mean, I could sit there, but it just, I could never achieve what people were talking about, they're describing as the yogic meditative state. And interestingly, Steve, and this is back, of course, in the days prior to the AIM program, where the AIM program, you get all the energies 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, via your connection to these energy emanating devices that your photograph is on. And back then, instead of AIM, which was the all-inclusive method, we had the evaluation method, because AIM was not both metaphysically and physically in the cards at that time. And the evaluation method required a visit to Steve, and he would do an energy evaluation, looking for the areas of energetic blockage that represented your greatest need at that particular time. And then these remedies of, basically they were alcohol and water, were imprinted digitally, like energy was pumped into these things, and you would take them under your tongue and receive these energies. I like to compare it to the concept of holy water in the Catholic religion, the idea that this liquid has been blessed, let's say, in a certain way, and then you transfer that vibration to yourself by consuming it. And so that's what was up then. And so during one of these evaluations, Steve came up with this and kind of told me what he saw. And he said, you know, do you have a hard time meditating? And it's like, yeah, that's a pretty good guess, man. How'd you figure that out, you know? And so, but, you know, obviously he wasn't guessing. He understood it. And then he kind of went into a bit more depth with me and showed me what was going on. And this is interesting, because it was something that first showed up as the energetic vibration of an acupuncture thing called restless shen. And Steve said, why is that? What underlies the restless shen? And so he went through some layers until he found something that was an energetic imbalance in the orb, or the energy sphere that manifests my heart. And he gave me some drops for that, you know, imprinted some remedies for it, and in a short time later, this thing went away and has frankly stayed away. God, it's easily been 15, 17 years since this occurred. And you know, whatever it was that changed, it immediately changed, so that meditation was easy after that.
Okay, and like, as Evan said, this is in that same chapter that I read the paragraph from, Evan, in the My Turn, which is page 182, which is right before the two epilogue chapters where you discuss how the program evolved into the AIM program. So we've got, what I'm hearing here is that in that case, he found a particular frequencies there, and there's probably many, many more that affect different energetic orbs, maybe on a hereditary type imbalance, affect different energetic orbs, or particularly in you, the heart, that ultimately resulted in you being able to meditate more easily. Are there any specific frequencies that you would say maybe directly relate to meditation? And I guess where I'm going with this is that we have a tendency, especially with all the weekly updates, we talk about newly found karmic or hereditary imbalances, those things that may sound similar to diseases, and then we've got these enhancing frequencies. So let's say, are there frequencies that are there for us any time, but that might be particularly beneficial if our intention is to work on meditating or do a meditation?
Well,
specific?
You know, I would have to say, well, first of all, the frequencies that you're talking about from page 182 in Sanctuary, those frequencies are on the tray, so that's pretty specific. Though it may not be something that everybody has, it may not be an imbalance that is present in each person listening, let's say. But I think you have to consider in general that every energetic imbalance has the potential to be an obstacle to consciousness. And if meditation is about either becoming more conscious or using one's consciousness to manifest things, mm-hmm. either way, any obstacle to that consciousness would be an obstacle to meditation. So each thing has some purpose. It's just that for each individual, which things are the ones that individual needs is, you know, that differs person to person and case by case.
Okay. Now, I think that's very well put. And like in your meditation that people will get to listen to, and you've got some, you know, you talk about mantras there as you do in the book Sanctuary. So it's like it's kind of hard to, I would assume, with 500,000 frequencies there, for some of these, it's kind of hard to even remember what they all are, but to pinpoint certain things, but just say it's like an accumulation of prayer and mantras that are there. They're just high vibrational energies that are there in the meditation process. That's part of the deal. There is we're working to come from a lower vibration to a higher vibrational level. So those frequencies are there to tap into. We don't have to know it's, okay, I need this particular one, right?
Well, to say consciously, I need that this particular one, well, frankly, that's one of the things that the guided meditation that we'll give out the URL for before the call is over, that's one of the things that I actually I'm attempting to help people do with that is to the extent that they're willing to and want to, why not identify specifics and focus on those? Now, is it mandatory to get a valuable experience from AIM? Of course not. Actually, that's one of the great things about AIM. But boy, you know, what you said there, it got so many thoughts going for me, and I wish I could remember what they all are because I'd like to address them all. But it's like, first of all, one of the things about this, when you talk about a higher frequency of energy or a higher vibration, you know, one of the things that I think of that's going on in with the AIM program is that when in quantum physics, one of the things that occurs is that a quantum particle, doesn't move smoothly between two different energy states. As you add energy to the particle, it suddenly transitions from one level to another without sort of there being an in-between. And, of course, remember that Niels Bohr, one of the great minds of quantum physics, along with Einstein and others, he said that those who are not shocked when they first come across quantum mechanics cannot possibly have understood it. So here what quantum mechanics is saying is that it's like the idea that you don't walk from your house to your car. It's like you're in your house, then you're suddenly in your car. That's the way things work on this level that underlies the physical universe, the persistent illusion that Einstein was referring to. And the thing that I think about the AIM program is here you've got your photograph on this thing, and there's this connection there, and I'll remind anybody that might be biting their tongue on their skepticism there, that most people already believe that you can transfer healing prayer energies via a photograph and do so in their the religious traditions that they come from. And this is really based on that same principle. So when people say to me, well, how does the AIM program work? I just tell them to, as soon as they explain to me exactly how prayer works, I will explain to them exactly how AIM works. And but the fact is that with this connection, basically these energies are being pumped into you so that you can make this jump, this quantum leap to the next level, whatever that next level is. And of course, as you know, Judy, we don't purport to tell people what that level is for each of them. People can, we believe that as each person develops their self-responsibility, they'll find all of these answers for themselves without someone having to tell them. And finding it for themselves is imminently more empowering than having someone, I don't know, I want to say lead them around by the nose on this.
Yeah,
you know,
pretend, because, like you say, you've always said in the past, Evan, that you know, you're the only authority on you.
Right, right. Well, and it's like what Steve says. He says, you know, I can heal anything. That's the good news. The bad news is I can only do it in one person. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's kind of the point, is that each of us has to be our own healer. And that healer, of course, that goal, whatever it means to be whole for that person. And so anyway, though, like I said, I think one of the things that's going on is that the AIM trays are actually increasing somebody's energy level on just a mathematical level. It's like, hey, there's this energy being pumped at you. You're being bombarded with it on some level. It just has to increase your energy level, your consciousness level, whatever we mean by energy. Do I mean that you'll hold a fluorescent light bulb and it will begin to glow? No, that wasn't what I meant by that. But I mean energy as in life force energy and things like that. So that's one level. And another thing that I like to point out about the AIM program that I think is very important is that people talk about spiritual purification a lot. I mean, for instance, that's one of the things that it's considered that meditation does is a purifying practice. And the question is, well, what are the impurities? If we're purifying ourselves, that implies that there are impurities. So what are the impurities? My personal belief is that energetic imbalances are the impurities. These are the things, impurities are that which lowers our consciousness, that separates us from being able to include everything and everyone. And so the AIM program is about, it's basically a spiritual purification practice, and frankly I consider it an advanced spiritual purification practice, which there's a lot of those kinds of things that aren't available to someone who doesn't spend their entire lifetime meditating on a tiger skin in a cave in the Himalayas, let's say. So the fact that this advanced practice is available simply by getting your picture on this tray is a pretty amazing thing. Now, meditation, you know, something else, and we talked about this earlier, and I want to make sure we cover it, because I actually believe that one of the things about consciousness and meditation is that life itself is like a mantra. It's something that repeats over and over again. Your bodily functions, you know, you have to take food and liquid in, you have to get rid of it later, you have a cycle of waking up, going through the process of cleaning oneself, of raising one's consciousness into other aspects of the day-to-day life, much of which is quite repetitive, and each meal has some similarity to meals before, and perhaps lots of similarities to it, and the physical movements of how we move through our homes, which is something that concerns the feng shui practitioner, for instance, because of this very thing of the way the movement is a meditation that shapes our reality. And so we repeat these patterns all day long, and whether it's, you know, the way we walk to our car and the way we drive to work and the way we stop at the store and which store and the way we walk through the aisles and which products and the thoughts that we go through as we grab the, you know, whatever it is, the pasta or the cereal or the milk and or the lack of thought, by the way, all of these things are included in that. And then eventually you turn on the TV to watch American Idol or whatever and then pass out and start it all over again in the morning after repeating some dreams that you've had a number of times over your current lifetime. And all of these things, to me, that is meditation. As long as you're willing to stretch, if we consider that this idea of repetition of a mantra, and when we think of what kinds of mantras, I mean, there are movement mantras, there are things that are not vocal. So every action in our day, this idea of repeated action, is intrinsically, or at least offers intrinsically, the possibility of meditation and self-awareness and even enlightenment in every moment of our day. So, frankly, if you want to stay really conscious for that stuff, don't even bother with the guided meditation that we'll give out the URL to in a little bit, because it's available to you all day long. Like if you're angry with the kids or whatever it is, or you just had a fender bender and you can just stay awake to that moment of the pattern of everything, well, that's meditation, and it's incredibly powerful to do it that way. So, and I think that's part of the goal, basically. I think that's part of the goal of consciousness, is to get to see life from that high perspective like that.
Well, and I think that's what you meant when you, EMC Squared, you sent out the email last week about the call coming up saying, discover how you already use the principles of meditation every day. And as you said earlier, AIM is about freeing up that life force energy, and then you get to decide what to do with it. As I was listening to you, I was thinking about Esther Hicks in her book, Asking It Is Given. And I think she's got a number of techniques in there for concerning the law of attraction. But one of the things she mentions in there, I believe she calls it, Evan, going on a rampage of appreciation. And I love that. It's just picking something to focus on that brings you pleasure. And then
or you know what? You can take it a step farther. Focus on something that pisses you off.
Okay.
That's okay, too.
Yeah, that's easy enough. But it's interesting that you say that, yeah.
The trick is, well, I mean, after all, if we're so darn habituated to various thoughts that make our lives less happy, for instance, well, why fight it? Be a master at that.
Once you've
mastered it, you can transcend it and choose something else if you please.
Yeah, I guess you're getting, that's really, really good, Evan. Okay, accept it, but just be aware of what you're having this rampage about, whether it's appreciation or...
Right, and that you're negotiating with yourself while you do it,
yeah.
Trying to justify your rampage by the fact that you're going to become enlightened by it.
There you go.
You know, remember, though, it's easier to ride the horse in the direction that it's going.
Yeah, yes.
So really, why fight it? You know, again, the idea of it is be non-judgmental about your day.
Absolutely. But the all-important intention setting for that day as well, right?
Well, I don't know. Is that a shooting all over oneself thing that you have
it's
to
important.
Set the intention
no.
for
no.
the day? I mean, look, I think that the guided meditation that we're offering here is very much about setting an intention. So I'm not saying that I don't think it's a good thing to do. I think it's appropriate when it's appropriate, but I don't think it's mandatory at all.
Well, Evan, I know you live in a part of Las Vegas where it's real convenient for you to go. I know you go horseback riding, and I know you go on walks. Do you ever do, like, walking meditations while you're walking?
Well, I don't think there's any real choice in the matter, at least not for me. I mean, you know, I've done stuff like those, what do they call them, not mazes, labyrinths, right, where they call them labyrinths, but I think... for me, they lack a little bit of the Grecian legend thing. But when it's like a path of stones and gravel where you walk around in circles for a while, and after you walk around for a while, you realize, hey, I'm walking around in circles. But you know, that's a way. It's a thing to do. I've done it. It's interesting, but. Lately, like, of course, as you know, Judy, we're having some incredibly wonderful weather here in Las Vegas, couple weeks of it before it starts getting hot. I've been going out, and one of the things, because there hasn't been any wind for the last few days, the thing that amazes me is once I get out into the desert somewhere, and I live out in the hills, and I, you know, it's easy to get to where there's, you know, you're just in this space where the rest of there is no civilization around. It's just this wildness of the desert. And when there's no wind, it is so quiet that it's deafening. And that's really the only way I know how to put it. But I you know, it's like funny. Like I go out there with my dogs, and we'll get somewhere and just stop and listen. And what's so amazing is that there is absolutely no sound. And it's like in that no sound, it seems like there is, there aren't even really good words for it. My problem, I could slap a bunch of words on it, but they'll all have religious overtones that will lay a bunch of biases on it that I don't think, I think those things take away from just the sheer experience of that kind of silence.
I know what you mean, Evan. Some things just defy words. It's just a total feeling. But yeah, and I think too that I would have to say it is. I'm looking out the window now, and like not even a single palm is moving on the trees, and it's just it's noticeable in light of how windy it has been here.
Yeah, well, of course, the other one is it does get windy where it sounds like a freight train coming through. So
yeah.
That one I'll have to kind of try to stay meditative when that happens. But I sometimes worry about whether my house is going to stick to the ground.
And there's no basement to run to, just in case, right?
Exactly. So.
Okay. I'm watching the clock here. I want to make sure that we cover everything that you want to cover here, Evan. But also, if we can find a few minutes at the end to see if we can open up our lines and take a couple of questions. So, and I'm looking
okay.
Forward.
Now, and the other thing I just wanted to point out, though, about this concept of meditation is that, like I say, the one, and I suppose we should give out the URL soon. People have patiently waited through this far, so you know we should probably announce it, the URL momentarily. But you know, as I said earlier, it's an amalgam of three different visualizing techniques in meditation, and they're very old techniques. They're considered very powerful by several different spiritual traditions, and I hope people will give it a shot and enjoy the results.
Well, I certainly enjoyed it this afternoon, so thank you for my opportunity to get the early preview. And what is that URL, Evan?
The URL is aimprogram.com, that's aimprogram.com/meditate, M-E-D-I-T-A-T-E, aimprogram.com/meditate. And if you insist, you can put a www dot in front of that, but it's not necessary.
But you don't have to. And again, as Evan said, there's a PDF file there with a few explanatory comments, and also a photograph of the trays, which most people probably listening to the call, Evan, have watched our virtual tray tour video, but there's a photograph of the trays right there as well, and then the audio. So we hope everybody will take advantage of that. And also, Evan, because I know you, and I know you love feedback, we all do, if someone has any comments after listening to that or questions, what's the best email address to give them? Is it the info@energeticmatrix.com? Is that the best one?
Yeah, absolutely. info@energeticmatrix.com works perfectly well because I will definitely get anything directed my way if it comes through there.
Okay, so we invite everybody to take advantage of yet another resource, and I believe the plan is possibly sometime next week we'll have the recording of this call available on the facilitator websites and at aimprogram.com, and also have that audio there as well. the audio of the meditation.
Right. Well, that, you've certainly been lobbying for that. See, Judy's been lobbying that that this meditation needs to come along as part two, available as long as the recording of this is available, and I'm debating whether I prefer the poetry of having it only available for a short time for those who decided to tune into this call. So stay tuned, and we'll figure out which one of us prevails. I don't feel very strongly about it either way, but I do like the idea of that if someone took the trouble to tune in and listen, that making something special available for them is.
Well, we might have just opened up for some more facilitator input on that one. So yeah, it'll be here.
No,
right
I
now.
Listen. Hey, you know what? The reality is, if somebody listens to the call 2 weeks from now, they still took their time to find out about this. And so I suspect that you are correct, and the call will have that material available.
Well, yeah, and it's kind of, 5 o'clock on the West Coast here can be kind of early, as opposed to, we got Patricia listening from Australia there, and she told me it was, when we started this call, it was 10 a.m. over there, so I thanked her for starting her morning with us. So, well, Evan, should we try to open the lines up and see if we have any questions at all from
sure,
our listeners? Let's give that a shot, and then we'll see how it goes. Before I
is your switchboard lit up?
No, that's not yet, because you haven't converted to that particular methodology of doing the call that I've bugged you about. But no, before I unmute all the lines, I'm just going to ask that our listeners go ahead and hit *6 on your phone. That will mute your individual line. That way it'll be nice and quiet when I unmute the lines. And then if you have a question or comment for Evan, just hit *6 again, and we'll hopefully be able to hear you. So I'm going to unmute the line, Evan, and we'll see how we do here and see if we can take a couple questions.
Right.
Do I have any questions or comments for Evan?
Excellent. We've fulfilled everyone's needs and expectations, or lulled them to sleep.
Hello?
Hello?
Go ahead. Tell us who you are. The lady that spoke up. Tell us who you are.
Hi. My name is Glory.
Well, Glory, thanks for being with us. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you so much for having this call. I just had a quick question as far as the genetic imbalances. Do you find that they go first? Do they go last? I just got on the program in September, so that's what I was really curious about, as far as the genetic imbalances.
Well, Gloria, you're using the word genetic, and I would use the word hereditary.
Hereditary.
Okay, and one of the things, actually, the word genetic is kind of an interesting one, because people think that because there seems to be so much emphasis on how we're formed by our genes, that it makes it somehow the idea that everything is energy and that we are creatures of consciousness that is manifested into the physical, that it makes that whole idea a lie, because that it's all really controlled by genes. But if everything's energy, I would say that therefore genes are energy as well, and
mm-hmm.
and the genetic structure is just a particular way of looking at the way energy forms itself. But as far as when these things go, as a rule, Steve has, and Steve's really the expert on this stuff. He's taught us that the hereditary stuff does tend to take. You have to get the superficial layers off first, right? Whatever things that you acquired in this lifetime tend to be peeled off the outer layers of the onion first before you can get to the center of the onion. So that's very common. And, one of the things about this is that we look at the energetic imbalances as happening at three levels. One of them is this active level, that you get them in this lifetime, and that you may have just gotten one today, or you may have one that you've had it for 20 years or whatever. But then there are others that you acquire hereditarily through the energy matrices of your ancestors. And then there's yet one more layer, and we believe this is the deepest layer, and this is the layer that we call karma, which we believe are energetic imbalances that you carry with you from lifetime to lifetime, regardless of your the energy matrices of your ancestors. You would carry these between lineages, as it were. And what Steve has found in his evaluations is that these hereditary, the karmic imbalances are always unexpressed, unexperienced, unresolved negative emotions, basically. And I address this a bit in the introductory material and a little bit in this guided meditation, because ultimately, as you work to, you know, with these techniques to remove these blockages, you may ultimately find yourself dealing with an emotional experience of something that you're holding on to that's kind of triggering all the rest of it to layer on. Because when you have certain karmic imbalances, whatever your particular arrangement of them is, those will attract you to a hereditary line that will have imbalances that are the right complement for your karmic imbalances. And then the combination of your karmic and hereditary imbalances attract your day-to-day active imbalances.
Oh, wow. So they all seem to kind of work together. Okay, I see.
It would have to, you think, huh? But as far as, you know, I would say be patient with yourself about your experience on the AIM program. For all of us, it's a journey. I mean, even for those of us who've been on it since the beginning of AIM and before, new things are always being added to the tray. Sometimes they're hereditary. Sometimes they're new things that are active in the environment. And there's always new experiences. The process is ongoing. While you're alive, there's going to be stuff to work on. So.
Well, Gloria, I know there was. I want to take a question. There was a man who spoke up as well, but I just want to thank you for the question, but also remind you that you can check with your facilitator as well. But we have a whole library of calls that Roberta Hladek, the other EMC Squared co-founder, is doing every month. We call them our AIM Basics calls. We have a little bit of a different topic every month, but we hit a lot of. Because that's kind of a common question, and it's just that we talked earlier in this call about the repetition. You know, reading something in Sanctuary is one thing, but when you start to hear certain things and you begin to understand, there is somewhat, as Evan said, a little bit of a process here, but we've all got our own hierarchy at the same time. And you're absolutely correct that having additional resources such as meditation and now with this new meditation that Evan is offering us, these are all tools to help us along our path and our individual experience, because everybody is so unique. But thank you very much for the question.
Thanks, Gloria.
Guys, appreciate it.
There was a gentleman that I think started to ask a question. If you're still with us, go ahead. Maybe not. Anyone else? And I'll add question or comment about meditation, or we can anything else. We've still got a couple minutes.
Well, I guess that means we have happy customers out there.
I guess so. Well, Evan, I'm going to go ahead and put the line back on mute for the purpose of the recording here. And just want to thank you again for, and bear with me, Evan, because my phone just died.
Okay, well, I can still hear you. And if Judy's not there, I wanted to repeat that URL one more time for the guided meditation that goes along with this call. It's aimprogram.com/meditate. And I don't know if Judy will be back with us, since we're bearing with her and her phone stopped working. But I'm not sure what she normally closes with, but I guess thanks for listening in on the call, and enjoy the download, and check the website at aimprogram.com. Check the schedule for the upcoming founders calls and other events.
Evan, you still there?
I am. I was sort of doing a soft shoe trying to close out because I wasn't sure if you'd be back.
I'm sorry, I had absolutely no notice with that phone, and it didn't give me any notice at all, and it just cut off, so I apologize for that interruption, but we're still being recorded, you'll be happy to know.
Okay, well, I'm impressed that you had enough time to say, my phone just stopped working, and then you were gone.
All righty then, well, sorry if I interrupted you there, but
no,
I
just gave out the URL again and told people to check the aimprogram.com schedule for upcoming other founders calls and other events.
Perfect. Well, and for anyone who may be new or old for that matter, there's so many calls that you've done in the past, and many are on our website, but I also, a lot of people, I've encouraged a lot of them to dig into some of the history behind the program and the trays, and I was just thinking too, Evan, I think it was probably maybe 3 years ago now that you filled in on TalkShoe for a couple of weeks in a row and got into some really interesting detail on not only the evolution of AIM, but in particular the tray room and things like that. And if anybody wants to access this, I know it was in February. It was either 2007 or 8. I'm thinking it was 2007. And all those calls are archived there on TalkShoe.com. Just put in 1329 in the search bar. But I enjoyed those, and just wanted to mention those for anyone that might.
So it's TalkShoe.com, and you search for 1329?
Yeah, you just put in TalkShoe, TalkShoe.com, and then there's a little search box on the right-hand side. If you just put in 1329, that'll bring up all of the archived weekly calls from, I guess, we're pushing 4 years now. And yours, I believe, were February of 2000, may have been 2008, where you did two in a row when Stephen was away.
Well, to believe that I said something worthwhile on those, but,
knows. No, you did, or I wouldn't be mentioning them. But I think people would really, really enjoy that. And to me, it still gets back to Evan. It's not about turning anybody into an expert about frequencies or the AIM program. But when you truly have an appreciation for the work that you and Stephen and Roberta have done, I think somehow we just have a better appreciation for the work that we're all doing by using this incredible tool called AIM, and it's, we got meditations and a lot of other things to assist us through the healing process that we affectionately call detox. So it's all about widening that perspective, and as we said, allowing people to open up and find whatever tools feel right for you. If it may be somebody else's meditation, it may be a 2-minute one, and maybe the one you recorded and offered to us now will become part of more people's daily practice, if that's their choice. But we appreciate you putting it there for us to use.
All right. Well, it was my pleasure, and thanks for hosting today, Judy, and thanks, everybody, for listening.
My pleasure as well. And again, everyone, get back to the facilitator that invited you to this call, or visit aimprogram.com, where you will find the schedule of all the upcoming monthly founders calls, as well as the AIM Basics calls. So, Evan, we still got gorgeous blue skies and daylight out here. It looks like there's still some time to go for a meditation walk.
There you go.
All right. Thanks again, Evan. Good night. Good night, everybody.
Bye, buddy.